All right. Welcome back to the Bifinex live stream. I'm your host, Ricardo Martinez. We're broadcasting live from the Plan B Forum in El Salvador. And I'm being joined by Jameson Lopp, who just finished doing his panel. Jameson, how are you?
Nice and warm.
Nice. How was the panel?
Too short. We were expected to talk about all the different covenants proposals in less than half an hour, which is totally undoable. But
how many are there now?
It depends on how you count them, because some of them are only partial and you have to have like multiple groups, but there's like 8 or 9 at least.
Okay, and like the other night when we were hanging out in the Sheraton, we were talking about the covenants a little bit, and you were saying that there's you're not sure like which one is the most favored. Did you guys come to a consensus on which one would be the best one? Or?
We definitely did not, but I will say that there's some rough consensus forming on the Bitcoin Wiki. There's a page for covenant support, and in my opinion, it looks like the most consensus is forming around CTV, which is Check Template Verify, OpCat, and OpCheckSig from Stack.
Now, like, if they do like a soft fork or whatever to like put these into the protocol, would all of those come in at once, like at the same time, or is it still kind of?
That would be nice, yeah. But you know, we're still, I think, a ways away from actually talking about activation parameters. And
like, if you had to guess, I know this is like impossible to predict, but if you had to guess, like, what kind of timeline are we looking at before we see something like this in Bitcoin?
I mean, everything in Bitcoin seems to take multiple years to do. I would be surprised if there was even much movement on it this year. It could be another year or two. If ever.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. So you had the panel, and then you discussed covenants, but you have a presentation later today. Are you allowed to talk about what you're going to talk about?
Of course. It's related to a topic I've been discussing for about a year now. It's just the general development progress in this space, ossification. We actually touched on it a little bit in the panel of like even before we talked about some of the different proposals, there's the open question of, well, should we even be talking about proposals to change Bitcoin?
Are you a fan of ossification, or do you think that we still need to keep improving the protocol?
No, I mean, I think ossification is a generally negative thing, but I do think it's inevitable. But as a result, we should consider this to be an incentive to try to work as hard and fast as possible to improve Bitcoin as much as we can while we can.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, I know it's a very polarizing topic, because some people are like really gung-ho, like diehard, like don't change anything, leave it the way it is. And then other people want things like covenants. So it seems to be like a divisive topic in the Bitcoin community to a certain extent.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a really broad sweeping statement, but I would say a lot of that is because Bitcoin has been so successful. And so there are a lot of people and institutions, various entities out there that have a ton of money in Bitcoin. And so they are afraid of screwing something up and effectively losing all their money. And so now we've got that incentive and that fear of loss that's pushing up against the incentives of, well, what about the other 95% of the world that isn't into Bitcoin or, isn't a whale, hasn't really become wealthy, and they could really, really benefit from better scalability, better security, better privacy, like many different potential things that we could improve.
Yeah. I think, personally, I'd like to see covenants come in, just because I believe, like, for layer twos to function in an optimal way, like for more people to use layer twos, we need covenants, like for things like Arc and for Lightning Network, and I want that to happen because I want to see Bitcoin be used as like a medium of exchange. Like,
sure,
I don't want to see it solely as a store of value. I want people to actually use it as like digital cash, and for that to happen, we need layer twos to be able to scale to the masses.
And the tools that we have for building layer twos are incomplete, and when we started building Lightning, it was incomplete. We had to do 3 soft forks to get the stuff that made Lightning really feasible. And I think it's not outrageous to expect that we'll need to do more soft forks to enable more functionality to enable more layer twos.
How many times have you been to El Salvador now?
Second time. So it's been over 3 years. Came right after the Bitcoin law got passed.
Okay, nice. How are you seeing El Salvador, like, on this trip as opposed to the first trip? Have you seen, like, a lot of change, a lot of growth? Like, yeah. What have you taken away from this
experience? No, there's a lot of noticeable development. I've, seen and been inside a number of new buildings that didn't even exist the last time I was here. I would say it feels safer in the sense that, there's just far fewer, like, armed guards standing around everywhere. There's still some, but a lot less than there were 3 years ago. And in general, just feels optimistic.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody yesterday during one of the interviews, and we were talking about how there's, like, a tangible optimism here that you can kind of just, like, feel in the air. And I would totally agree with that. Like, people here seem, like, hopeful for the future. On this trip, have you had a chance to go out to, like, El Zante or, like, Berlin or any of these, like, circular economy projects that are here?
Nope, been stuck in San Salvador.
Ah, okay. At the conference the whole time. How's the conference been?
So far, so good. I usually don't attend a ton of talks at the conferences because my time is better spent networking.
Yeah, I do the same pretty much. Is there any talks that you have caught that you've taken the time to go sit down and watch?
Yes. I was at the Lightning talk where they were discussing the pros and cons and continued challenges of trying to build out Lightning Network. You can tell that there definitely has been some loss of enthusiasm and optimism, as we've discovered more problems with turning Lightning into a mainstream thing. But related to that and the covenant stuff, there are a number of improvements that some of these covenants proposals would make to Lightning as well.
Do you think that Lightning's role is going to end up being like a settlement layer between, like, different layer twos?
I think that's one of them, and that's one of the interesting dynamics that has changed over the past few years, where back in 2015, 2016, 2017, everyone was really talking about Lightning for fast, cheap payments, because the main thing that we were competing with at the time was, of course, it was a larger block size debate, because fast, cheap payments were very important for some subset of people. So that was the main thing that Lightning was focused on. Nobody even thought about a future in which there might be many different layer two networks, and Lightning would be like the glue between them. And that seems to be slowly coming to fruition, because also if you look at, for example, Ethereum and the layer two landscape on there, one of the big complaints that people have about how that ecosystem has developed has been basically fracturing, that you've got dozens, if not more, of these different layer twos on Ethereum, but they can't talk to each other. There's no way to actually, like, send money from one layer two to another. So I think if we could have Lightning really be the bridge between a diverse ecosystem of layer twos on Bitcoin, then that would make our layer two ecosystem even more vibrant than Ethereum's or other networks.
I've been thinking about it, and I think, like, that may be, like, the role that Lightning kind of fulfills, because, like, eCash, for instance, they're trying to settle between mints using Lightning. Mercury Layer is also, like, using Lightning. Yep. As, like, a way to, once you swap your UTXOs in Mercury Layer, you can, like, settle out to, like, a Lightning channel or something like that. There's, like, other talks of, like, different, like, Layer 2 projects that I've heard that are, like, using Lightning. Lightning's also on Nostr, which isn't really, like, a layer of Bitcoin, but it's kind of peripheral to Bitcoin. So, like, I'm kind of seeing it, like, maybe fulfill this role of where it's going to be, like, the glue or, like, the rails between these different, Bitcoin Layer 2s. Are you, like, what are you most excited about in Bitcoin right now?
I would say I'm more concerned than excited.
Concerned, okay.
And that's, I think, the main impetus for my talk. The title of my talk is The Curse of Success.
Okay.
And it's basically that, like, we've done so well now that, we're afraid to keep trying to innovate and take the risks required for that. So, I'm excited that there seem to be more proposals over the past year or two than there were. Like, we seem to have, you know, an acceleration of proposals for improvements to change Bitcoin. But on the flip side of that, there seems to be more and more rejection of any proposals. So it's almost becoming more polarized, right? We've got like more developers who are very optimistic and like there's so many things we can do to improve Bitcoin, and yet we've got more and more people, mostly who have become very wealthy in Bitcoin, who are now too afraid that something might break. And so it's really a diametric type of issue, and you know that's why I think I've spent so much time talking about it over the past year.
Okay. That's an interesting insight that you have. With like over the past year, like people were trying to break Bitcoin, doing things like ordinals and like runes and like these like weird little hacks to like use the protocol in a way that it wasn't intended, and then that kind of kicked off like this arms race for like people to build these like side chains and things like on Bitcoin that are going to do like tokenization and like Ethereum style like smart contracts and stuff. And there's a website called L2 Watch that tracks like, there's like 85 different ones that are currently like in different stages of development.
Yeah.
What do you think about all this like Ethereum style like DeFi like capabilities that they're trying to like bootstrap onto Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good that some people want to compete with some of these other networks. And, you know, you can argue about, you know, how valuable it is. And, you know, I think a lot of people would point to Ethereum and show that, like, it's been fairly stagnant from a adoption perspective over the past few years. And, you know, for the past couple of years, I guess Solana has been, you know, the big DeFi system.
Yeah, it's kind of taken the lead.
So, I mean, you know, you can have lengthy debates about, like, should Bitcoin even be trying to compete with these other things? I think that if people want to expend their resources making Bitcoin more competitive in those venues, then that's all the better for Bitcoin. Of course, this can become contentious if, for example, those use cases start using layer one block space. That's when people get upset. They're like, oh, you know, you're using Bitcoin for non-financial stuff.
Yeah.
And that is really more of a philosophical question. Like, Bitcoin doesn't care what you're using it for as long as you're following the protocol. And I think that people should be allowed to use the protocol for whatever they want and try to figure out what is the most economically valuable uses of the protocol. You know, maybe it's not a medium of exchange. You know, maybe it is some sort of more esoteric financial construction. But as we saw, you know, so many people got really, really upset with the ordinals and inscription stuff about, you know, spamming the chain. And you know, I said all along, look, I'm neutral about this. People should be allowed to do it. I don't know whether or not they'll be successful. In fact, we should expect that the vast majority of experiments will fail. That's how life works with, like, companies and, you know, trying new things, trying to find, you know, product market fit. And here we are today, and the mempool is practically empty, and nobody's doing the ordinals and rune stuff anymore. So at least where it stands right now, you know, they did not manage to get a like sustainable economy bootstrap for the stuff that they were doing, and that's fine.
That's what people predicted too. I remember like when that was going on and the fees were high, like a lot of Bitcoiners were saying like, that's not sustainable. They're not going to be able to keep paying these kind of fees. Like, this is going to fizzle out at some point, and it seems like it's kind of done that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, because of ordinals, like, it is kicked off. Like, there's, like, I just talked to Andreas, this guy from Sequentia. He's building, like, a sidechain that has, like, you know, like, tokenization and stuff for Bitcoin. And there's, like Mint Layer. There's all these different ones that, like, I can't even keep up with how many there are, you know, to, like, keep tabs on, like, what people are actually doing. But it kicked off, like, a flurry of experimentation on Bitcoin, like, building, like, sidechains that have, like, these other, like, more Web3-style, like, capabilities, I guess. So I was just interested to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, and that's fine. But, you know, with this proliferation of dozens and dozens of those networks, they're all going to find major challenges in actually bootstrapping to the point where they have sufficient network effect that they are sustainable economically in some form. So once again, even with all of those, I would expect like 90% of them are not going to last, and that's okay.
I mean, look at Liquid. Liquid's been around for years, and like people are just like starting to use it now.
Yeah, so. Liquid, at least in terms of like total assets on Liquid, it barely changes by more than like 1 or 2% per year. So there's not many people piling into it. I think there has been a bit more development happening on it, but that is yet to like really bring in much new adoption from what I've been able to tell.
All right. And then my last question is, like, a lot of people here, particularly at this conference, have been talking about tokenization and like tokenization of real world assets. There's a whole bunch of people that are interested in that at this conference. What are your thoughts about tokenization?
Well, once again, I think anyone should be able to do whatever they want. I haven't yet like wrapped my mind around how tokenizing a real world asset does anything for it in terms of security, because it seems to me like you still have to physically secure that thing. So as far as I can tell, it's really just more of a financial opportunity thing of like, if you want to be able to trade real world assets or like partial pieces of real world assets and financialize them, then this is a way to do that. That's not my wheelhouse, but if people want to do it, go for it.
Yeah, I think it's like also like modernizing the markets, because like traditional markets like close like on the weekends and like at night and stuff, and like the Bitcoin market's like 24/7. So like I think they're excited about the possibility to have like these markets in operation around the clock and you know, financializing it, like you said.
Yeah, it just like, you know, I'm the security guy, so I take a paranoid approach to stuff. So I'm like, okay, what happens if you tokenize your house and then someone hacks the token and now they own your house?
Yeah.
Do they get to come and kick you out? You know, there's so many weird edge cases that I think people haven't really thought through.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it unrolls, because, like I said, there's a lot of people here that are interested in it. But thanks so much for coming on the show and doing the interview. It was a pleasure, and good luck with your presentation later today, man.
Thanks. Yeah.